I was just thinking how lovely it was to have nice, quiet, soothing music this morning at the beginning of the service after all the busyness of Christmas. You're all very welcome to this service of morning prayer. And Robert has given me just a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, the service is Holy Communion at 10 o'clock, and the Jam group will meet in the hall at 10 o'clock. We're going to begin by singing a hymn, the Once in Royal David City, number 177, and we leave out verses 3 and 4. The service of morning prayer on page 101. The Lord be with you. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Let us pray. We say together, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And we're going to say Psalm 124, which you'll find on page 744. Page 744. And it's Psalm 124. And we'll say it by alternate verses. If the Lord himself had not been on our side, now may Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when enemies rose up against us. Then would the waters have overwhelmed us, and the torrent gone over our soul. Over our soul would have swept the raging waters. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are delivered. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We sit for the Old Testament reading. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 63, beginning at verse 7. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them, according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. And we're going to sing the Canticle Urbs Fortitudinis, which you'll find on page 130.
Thank you.
New Testament reading is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And this is really called the story of the slaughter of the innocents. After the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. And we turn to page 112, and we stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the King. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, may clean our hearts within us. And the collect of the Day of the Holy Innocents. Heavenly Father, whose children suffered at the hands of Herod, by your great might, frustrate all evil designs and establish your reign of justice, love, and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collects at morning prayer. We say the first collect together. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversary. And now we're going to sing hymn 170, Love Came Down at Christmas. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, born in a stable, sought by Herod, taken as a refugee to Egypt, hear the cry of all who are refugees and the homeless. Fill us with love and care for them. And may we show that love in serving those in needs. It is in serving them that we serve you, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we remember before you all who are persecuted for their faith, all those who are imprisoned for their beliefs, all who are forced out of their home and country for speaking out against evil and corruption. when we look at the world and we see how people's human rights are ignored. We ask for your help. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray in sorrow for all innocent victims of tyranny and violence. We pray for all those who have suffered through ethnic cleansing or genocide. This morning we remember the people of the Bible lands. We pray for Ukraine. And we pray for the talks which are going to take place in the next few days. We pray for Sudan. We pray for refugees and displaced peoples. And we pray for all those who are in power, that they will use their power justly and for the needs of the most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you for our homes. We give thanks for our loved ones and our security. We remember children in homes of abuse or where children are taken into care. We pray for people evicted from their land or their homes, and for all who live in shanty towns or slum dwellings. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we remember all who have to leave home because of illness. We pray for all who cannot cope on their own. We remember today all those who are ill, either at home or in hospital, that they will know your presence close to them. And we pray for those who care for them. We remember especially all those who have been recently bereaved, especially over this Christmas period. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we put our trust in you. We believe that in you, justice and love triumphs. We give thanks for all those who we have loved, who are now in your closer presence. And we pray that we may share with them in your everlasting kingdom. On the last Sunday of the year, we look back on the past year. We think of all our difficulties, all the times when we have been anxious, and we also think of all the good times, all those times that we have spent with friends and family, and when we have felt your presence very close. And so we think of the coming year with all its uncertainties and all the unknown. And we commit all of that into your hands. And in a moment of quietness, we bring our own needs to the Lord. And
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Sing verses 1, 2b and 3. It'll be obvious when you look at the hymn. Verses 1, 2b and 3. May I speak in the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Christmas seems to finish very abruptly after all the preparations and the excitement. And it's only been a couple of days since we celebrated the joyous and momentous arrival of the baby Jesus, announced by angels, born in a stable, and visited by shepherds. And this morning we read about the danger already threatening the new baby. And it all started with the visit of the Magi. It seems that Mary and Joseph, for whatever reason, had decided to stay on in Bethlehem and make it their home. Even though we place the wise men in the stable alongside the shepherds, in reality, they arrived sometime later. It would have taken them some weeks to make their long journey in pursuit of this unusual star, which they had spotted in the sky. As was the custom for visiting dignitaries, the wise men stopped off en route to the area to pay homage to Herod, the ruling king, and they asked him about the significance of the star. Herod was a proud and ruthless and insecure man, and he was immediately suspicious
and ask them to bring him any news if they find anything important or anyone important. And so Matthew tells us, after their visit to the Christ child, God spoke to the wise men in a dream, and they returned home by another road, avoiding any contact with Herod. He, of course, was furious. He felt that his power and position were threatened, so he ordered the slaughter of any male child in the town under 2 years of age, because he needed to protect his position no matter what. Matthew tells us that an angel spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him to pack up and leave immediately, taking Mary and the baby, and flee to Egypt. So if you think about it, before Jesus even took his first steps, the child we call Lord and Savior became a refugee because he was a threat to the person in power. Herod was on the rampage, and Joseph and his family had no time to lose. That journey to Egypt would have been a terrifying one for a young couple. Apparently, it would have taken them at least 10 days to reach Egypt. 10 days of trying to look inconspicuous. 10 days of fear and uncertainty and physical discomfort. Unfortunately, it's all too easy for us to imagine, because we see such journeys every day on our television screens. People on the move, parents with children, elderly people taking all their worldly belongings on a cart, desperately trying to find safety. And that's what Joseph and Mary were doing. Joseph must have wondered why the angel told him to go to Egypt, because for the people of Israel, Egypt was the land of Hebrew slavery, and it spelt poverty and danger. Nevertheless, Joseph obeyed and trusted in God's directing, and Matthew told us that they left by night under cover of darkness. Mary and Joseph couldn't have known that they were fulfilling the prophecy of Hosea by fleeing Bethlehem. He had prophesied, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." So once again, they were on the move. Firstly, from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census, and then to Egypt for safety. I think when you read this story, it's hard not to compare Herod and Joseph. Despite Herod's wealth and his ambition, he was a desperately insecure and unhappy man. The birth of a tiny, vulnerable baby was a threat to his ego and position. He feared the loss of his wealth and prestige, and he wanted to ensure that his sons would inherit the same power, so he was willing to protect it in a brutal way. The birth of the Savior was good news for the world, but bad news for Herod. You can't help, again, when you read about Herod, thinking of various leaders in the world that we see on the television on a regular basis. Big egos, thinking about themselves. Everything is about them, not about their people or the good of their people. It's actually very difficult to see. But Jesus already met somebody like that, or was influenced by somebody like that as a baby. But you think of Joseph, on the other hand. He was a humble man of deep faith who loved Mary and wanted to care for her and protect his new family. And he was a man who obeyed God. You know, we never hear Joseph speak one word in the whole Bible. Yet his role was critical to God's plan. Joseph didn't get any spectacular signs from God, no burning bush or pillars of fire, but he listened to God's prompting when spoken to in dreams, and he trusted God wholeheartedly. He must have done, because he married Mary in spite of the circumstances, and he moved to a place where he probably didn't want to go. And I think that this story, for me, reminds us that God is with us in all circumstances, in fearful times, in dangerous times, in uncertain times. And you know, the Christmas story isn't just about love and joy and peace. It's about hate and greed and ambition and mothers weeping for their children. It's about the reality of life. It's about God being with us in every circumstance. It's reminding us that we live in a harsh and cruel world, which God in Christ Jesus experienced for himself. But he is with us, Emmanuel. I couldn't help thinking when I was preparing this sermon about how, you know, we have this view, a lovely romantic view of Christmas. And I remember my first year, it's in the dark ages now, my first year as a student nurse when I started in the Royal. It was 1972. And I had to work at Christmas, and I thought this was awful because I'd never had to work on Christmas Day before, and I was away from my family and all the rest of it. But I remember walking along the corridor, and the Salvation Army band were playing outside and playing the carols, and it was so emotional. And I remember thinking, imagine them giving up their time on Christmas Day to come and play, because all the patients and all the wards could hear it. And then when I went into the ward, the first thing I met was a lady that I had spoken to the night before who had died. And I was quite naive, really. I hadn't realized how ill she was. And I remember saying to the ward sister, isn't this terrible? Christmas will never be the same for this family because they'll remember their loved one dying on Christmas Day. And she said, but isn't that what Christmas is about? God is with us. God is with us in the sadness. God is with us in the danger. God is with us in the fearful times. And Jesus proved this throughout his life because he experienced all those same things himself. I often wish I was like Joseph and had dreams where God spoke to me and I could be quite sure that it was God. But I still think that God speaks to us even nowadays. Particularly for me, he speaks through other people, like that ward sister that day, or people that I'd be visiting in their homes. They say things to me, and I think, yes, that's actually God speaking to me through them. So I think we'd be a bit more like Joseph and listen carefully for when God is speaking to us, when we don't expect it. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ, the Son of God, born of Mary, fill you with his grace. Grant you a glimpse of his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and all those you love, today and forever.